The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Where the Stars Fell, The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, and Civilized. Plus, early access to new episodes of Midnight Burger, all still entirely ad-free.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts, a 6th event podcast, video event one-shots, and an additional video D&D campaign. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows and vote on the way their stories will progress. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. D-U-M-B-D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B, D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back to Dumb Scum and Villainy, a Dumb Dumbs and Dice podcast where professional voiceover artists and improvisers explore the underworld of this Star Wars Edge of the Empire role-playing game. I'm your host, Blotto the Toydarian. This series features our Game Master Tom McGee, Ryan LaPlante as Abraxas Brash Kor, Tyler Hewitt as Vic Denbar, Guy Bradford as Engage 311, and Adam McNamara as the forgetful psychopath Waka Waka Fonzie. The gang flew into a war zone before they could betray each other. Vic discovered that Renegade Fever is already sweeping the galaxy. Brash had to impersonate Vic to get past the Imperial forces, and Waka tried to steal the Vic Viper before Engage stole it out from under him, only to discover a bomb was hidden on board. There, you're caught up, so get out of my shop or spend money. No credits, only money!
Serpentos, you see your valiant effort at personal rebellion, really. A chance to really kind of turn the tables in your favor explode through a viewport. You see the Vic Viper in all of its longtime dumb scum and villainy glory explode in a classic Star Wars fire in space explosion. And you turn to see William J. LePantomane looking admittedly pretty nervous. What do you do?
So just to clarify, do I have Did I get that fork gun hand?
Yeah, so strictly speaking, yes. You said there's a fork gun, like, chain gun going on. It's just a chain gun with forks attached to it. It's not a fork gun. You have the fork gun. That's your arm.
Oh, okay. So I have a fork gun hand. Is it transformable, or I'm just walking around with a fork
gun? No, it's just, it's Furiosa style. It's just like, you're currently Samus. It's just the cannon.
Oh, sweet.
Or Mega Man can pop the hand, but it's just a cannon on your arm until you can hijack a droid. You're currently a very lopsided, vaguely silly-looking fellow, which bugs Serpentos deeply.
Right.
Because you're meant to be the perfect specimen, and now you have a stupid tiny arm and a big giant gun arm. But yeah, you have a fork gun with the fork on the end. What do you do?
So I turn to the hacker, and I'm like, very clever, Willem Dafoe, whatever your name is. And then I grab him by the neck, and I kind of like push him against the wall, and I say, it was very brave, but very foolish. And to betray Serpentos Ultra Magnus is to court death itself. And then my hand turns into a fork gun and I fire.
Cool. So his head explodes and the rest of his body turns to ash. As the bolt hits him, he just says, "It's Jayla Pantomain!" And then he just turns to dust. And you retract the fork from the wall, and you try and transform your arm, and it's just like, and you're like, no, it's still just a fork gun, because I still haven't killed that droid for his arm yet. But okay. I think Serpentos has kind of like this idea of him believing himself to be the perfect weapon that he refuses to acknowledge that his fork gun arm isn't a hand.
Right.
You start like stroking your chin with the fork gun, being like, Yeah, it's just like bloody streaks down your chin, and you're just like, yes, this is fine!
Scratching his helmet.
Yeah.
So he blows up, and then I kind of tap my comm link in my new awesome Galvatron helmet. my other hand's like a
sweep claw. So sweep claw, sweep's okay. Arms are like literally if you were a child drawing a stick figure of a robot, it's a, like right. a thin arm, so it's like two tubes with like a little joint in the middle and then a fucking Lego hand. Like a metal Lego hand. And then your other arm is a badass steampunk Furiosa fork gun.
Right.
So that one's a full like shoulder, you got like a full bicep and then a full forearm. And then a fork gun. The other one is just, and to be clear, it's a Lego arm, but it does grab. So it's not like it's just stuck for you to put like Lego shit in.
From elbow forward, it's just that grabber you give the elderly to pick things off of the floor.
Yeah.
And incidentally, like, when you were describing killing William, I kind of imagined you had like your weird baby arm. but I liked that it was the fork gun arm. Yes. So one of your arms is kind of small and silly. The other one is big and scary, but also not an arm.
Okay, so I'll take my small and silly arm, and I'll tap the intercom in my helmet, and I'll in a private channel I have with Shatterstar, and I'll be like, "It looks like we have a betrayer in our midst. Employ Operation Kill the Hackers," and then our plan is that Shatterstar takes her awesome Gatling gun and then takes out all the hackers in the hacker room.
So. She taps the comm link 3 feet away from you and says, "Roger?" And then just, like, looks you in the helmet and just kind of, like, backs away and, like, checks back in and then, like, okay.
It's Serpentos, not Roger.
She looks at her hand. She goes, "Need to update that." She crosses out Roger and writes Serpentos.
Good. That's okay.
Waka was written above that. All right. So off she goes. Vic, out of the sort of viewport of your lounge, you see a ship that looks exactly like the Vic Viper explode.
Huh. Ship looks like the Vic Viper. Anyway.
What do you do? The ship is no longer under attack. It seems to have settled into a more regular pattern. As though you're on an airplane, you can feel it descending towards a planet.
I'm going to go into the walk into the cockpit and talk to Brash.
All right. So Brash, do you have sex phone sex with Dewey's mom?
Yes, I do. I have lurid, obscene, disgusting sex. And because the cockpit doesn't have a door, I gesture Nyx over to prevent people from coming in to interrupt my sex scene if he can.
Yeah, so Nyx was trying to do that when Vic approaches, but he's also backseat driving your like dirty phone talk. Like, he just keeps chiming in with, like, suggestions, and it's honestly, it's annoying because he's right, but, like, you're kind of trying to create a vibe here. So, needless to say, he is unfortunately in the middle of describing, like, well, no, but if her leg is there, then you can't possibly get it, and then Vic pushes past him into the cockpit. Vic, do you acknowledge Nyx at all, or is he just, like, a weird door to you?
No, I acknowledge him enough that he's part of my crew.
Cool.
Yeah. I'll just say, Nyx, good to see you up and about. What's the situation here, Brash?
Okay, first of all, my name is Darth Jedi. I've got the call on mute. First of all, my name is Darth Jedi, and you have to refer to me as Master.
When did your name become Darth Jedi?
I picked that like 10 minutes ago. Okay, do you know what really that is sort of rude?
I don't have to respect that decision. You're Brash. Right.
Wait, what do I do after stroking the side of my face?
I'm just going to need you, just to say, I have to bring a woman to orgasm or we all die.
Okay, and I just go back and describe, like, what I do to her for, like, 10 seconds, and it is pornographic, and then I just flick it back to mute, and I'm like, she's going to be good for a minute.
Oh, do you have a question?
Yeah, what happened? They stopped shooting at us? Are we cleared to land and finish our deal with Tutu Cups?
Correct. As long as I can get this older woman to have an orgasm thinking she's making love with Renegade, then we can land, no problem.
What's wrong with the real deal? How come I'm not having gross phone sex with this lady?
Because you're an apprentice in the matters of the bedroom.
And I run a hand down his cheek. I just say, I am the master.
Just like, hey, quit it. Personal space.
I mean,
Renegade, darling, are you still there?
Yes, of course I am.
And then I just like, I just hit him. Just like lightly, but I just like hit him in the arm. And I put it back on mute.
You dick.
Listen, only one of us can make her go all the way. And I don't think it's you.
I don't think it's you.
All right, do you know what? Nyx, I think we can agree as an impassioned sidebar. We both have to think of the next thing we would tell her that we're going to do to her, and he'll tell us who thinks it's the sexiest.
That Renegade would say, I think. Okay, sure. You're going to lose, but go ahead. All right.
Okay, all right. I need you both to roll for this, because as much as I love improv,
you don't dice mechanics. Drafts?
I do, but Dewey's mom needs to know what the dice roll is.
Well, we're both going to say them to Nyx, and then he'll approve who the winner is.
I want you to roll. I want you to roll, and then you can improv based on how well you roll or how poorly. This isn't for me. This is for you.
All right,
I hope
let's
roll poorly, because I don't know what good dirty talk sounds like.
We run a podcast network. None of us know what good dirty talk sounds like.
I was going to say, Adam knows.
All right. So you can just tell me what skills you think you would use. I really want someone to say astrogation, but I don't think either of you have it.
No. Well, if it's planetary, then yes. Probably just charm. I feel like he'd lean into the charm.
Yeah, all right.
His whole thing.
How about you, Renegade?
I think because...
Other Renegade.
I think because Vic walked in on the conversation. You know, he's coming in cold, and he doesn't know the physiology of the woman on the other line. So, doesn't know, like, how many, like, hands she has or anything like that, or, like, how many eyes she has or anything. So we're going to go with... I was going to say deception.
I would buy deception, not in that you're trying to deceive her about your intent, because that would be horrible, but you're just like giving platitudes, but like, put the thing next to the thing that feels good, yes? Like, I would buy that. The deception isn't that you're trying to lie to her about what you should do, just that you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I'd buy that deception.
Hello, everyone. This is Tyler Hewitt, just coming at you with a little special offer for you. You know, if you're a fan of what we're doing here on the show, then we have, to borrow a phrase from Jerry Holkins, a patron-oriented experience tailored just for you. If you go to
patreon.com/dumbdumbdice,
you can sign up and get a bunch of special features that we're not really going to make available to anyone else, so do that. Now. Well, not right now, but, you know.
You know, I'm going to go for another negotiation.
That's all right. Great.
I went great for Vic last time. So that's a total of 2 green dice for Vic.
Yep.
Feeling good.
Brash, what's your...
I've got 1 green and 2 yellow.
Okay, so Adam and Guy, I need your help with this.
No.
Ooh, okay, this is a... It's a difficulty of 4. Based on my role. So either of you can add boost dice or setback dice to these 2 characters. Why do you think Brash or Vic would be better or worse at this incredibly strange task?
I think Vic would be better at it because he's the OG.
He knows the renegade lingo.
He knows the lingo. That said, I mean, Brash has her in his hand right now, in his palm. And palms, what do? They massage genitals.
But so you want to say one blue to each?
No, it's over the phone. I gotta give it to the OG.
That's fair. Pick. Also, admittedly, Brash is an in-person seductor. This is difficult without the pheromones. Adam, how about you? Who gets the nod from you?
You know what? I agree. I think Guy put it pretty plainly there. So I say Brash gets the bad and Vic gets the good.
All right. This concludes our weird Sunday night football armchair coaching. So that's 2 blue to Vic, 2 setback black dice to Brash. Brash, I'm going to give you an additional blue because you've been at this for a bit.
I feel like you should have a ruling on this, Tom. Vic is not trying to win over the woman on the phone. He's trying to beat Brash. Like, that's like where he's coming
that's
from.
That's a very good point, Tyler. Yeah. I would argue that that is the true essence of Renegade, though. Weirdly. So I'm going to give you a setback dice.
Yeah.
But I'm also going to upgrade one of your greens to a yellow.
Yeah, because Vic, you're all like...
Because it isn't about her, but it is about Brash, but weirdly the renegade persona is about proving someone wrong. And then Brash, I'm going to give you one more blue because you realize this is life or death. Or actually, upgrade a green to a yellow because you understand this is life or death. Whereas I think Vic is just wants to win.
Yeah, it's pride for Vic. Yeah, he doesn't know that this
is all right. So I guess that's the spread. Lady.
All right.
The spread. Nice.
I didn't mean it, but nice. Also, you guys are out of destiny points, so destiny, I'll start burning those the second you guys make me do something that actually matters to the plot.
Let's see how hard this lady orgasms.
I don't need to roll for that. You're both talented. Go.
What did you get, Tyler?
I would love to hear Ryan's.
1 advantage.
2 threat.
Wait, so you're a threat to...
Okay, all right. Okay, so here's what happens. Vic starts just, like, it's a little bit like a Beastie Boys song, in that Brash is saying things, and then Vic is just saying the last line of it slightly louder, a half beat after. So, Brash, you're giving, like, tremendously good advice. I will say that you're like, this is just like ordering a pizza for you. Like, it's just very much like, okay, no, like, to the left. Okay. Yeah, there you go. Okay. So what I'm going to need you to do next is this. But again, you're a master of this. And again, Nyx has been backseat driving, but like hasn't been the worst. It's been good advice. So Vic, you continue to just try and jump on the end of this. And this is the first time I think that you have ever realized someone else might be a good renegade. And that's a fucking bummer. So you just redouble your efforts and you just keep yelling the last line louder. And when Dewey's mom has, you know, finished off, she's had a grand old time, you hear the awkward clearing of a throat. And Minor Moff Dewey says, "Okay, Mom, thanks."
Was his mom?
So, Renegade, I didn't much care for the aggressive way you kept repeating yourself. My mom isn't stupid. She's a very smart lady. So I'm going to need you to die. And with your two threat, you see the weapon systems gearing back up. You have a split second to react. Vic and Brash, only you guys are in the cockpit. What do you do?
Quick, Brash, seduce him. Like you did his mother. Like mother, like son. Do it. Do whatever you did. Do it.
And I just, I flip it on and I'm like, "Listen, Dewey, I did what she wanted, but Renegades got even better for the real heroes out there. You Imperial boys in black."
I'm a Minor Moth, so they give me off yellow.
Even better.
"You were mean to my mommy!" And he just starts firing. Meanwhile, Engage, you exploded. The ship around you detonated, and for just a split second, you thought you were done. What was the final thought that ran through your head before the ship exploded?
Honestly, I was just thinking, like, what are the lyrics to the intro for Step by Step? My step.
And then the ship explodes before we get charged by SOCAN.
So Hasbro already owns our show.
There's a tremendous explosion, and it's a classic Star Wars, like, if we're looking at it, we're outside the cockpit and you're looking at it, and then it just explodes on you. But you're a robot, so it still damages you. You're going to take 5 points of damage. So your soak, I believe, is 2. I will check your sheet for you.
Sorry, I forgot to bring that sheet up.
No, it's all good, brother. Honestly, at the rate we've been talking rather than rolling, that's entirely understandable. Yeah, your soak value is 2. So you have a wound total of 12. So you're going to take 3 points of damage to that. So you're going to drop down to 9. You have
He's pretty sturdy.
He is very sturdy. He is a robot. He's a robot. Now, Guy, you also have there's a value called strain that we have literally never talked about on the show before. That is basically your mental fortitude. You have a strain of 11. You're going to take 6 points of strain damage because I'm going to ask you, in a classic Dum Dums and Dragons stress way, what in the tickle trunk did you find that helps you get planet side? You're not returning to the ship. You are dropping from orbit. But what helps you get planet side that you found in the Rick Dunbar tickle trunk?
Right. So I found this very eclectic feather boa.
He has so many of those.
Yeah, and basically I use it to attach it to the one boa after another, after another, after another. And so I weave it together quickly, because I'm a robot, I can do that, into like one big feather boa parachute that can, you know, withstand reentry.
So as you see the wee baby Seamus like dodging fire and having its engine hit and starting to plummet through the atmosphere, you're just you know, constricting boas faster and faster, yeah. like some kind of boa step constrictor type.
Step by step.
And then you make a great parachute, but you're still just floating in space because that's how physics works.
Right.
right. But then you remember the classic HoloNet character Tails from Space Sonic and Tails, and you take the parachute behind you and you start to spin. And you just spin, and you're spinning and spinning and spinning. And because I almost failed science in high school, this creates propulsion for you that starts pushing you towards the atmosphere. And you realize once you break through, you'll be able to parachute. But in the meantime, you're just going to fall from the sky. You built it to step by step. What is your plummeting from the sky song?
I'm so high, I can see forever.
Oh, you sing God. In reverse as you fall.
I'm so high, I can see forever. Oh, not never, no, not ever, something, something.
You know, they say that a hero will save us, and Gage is not going to wait anymore. And he begins to parachute from atmosphere. Shh, scientists, you're listening to the wrong podcast. Go find Neil deGrasse Tyson.
We don't have...
I'm sorry, Alex Kerr specifically. All right, so the ship is going down. Good news is that, Brash, you were able to dodge through the fire. And the good news is that because of the amount of distractions you made, the rest of the fleet is not paying attention to you. Fleet is a strong term, but you know what I mean. So you're basically riding down through the atmosphere, you've got a sensor ping from Tutu Cups' compound. Now, previously you'd met him kind of in almost a mine sort of situation. But it would seem that he's retreated to his mansion. So that is where you are headed. The ship is, to quote my old pal Buzz Lightyear, falling with style. Is there anything you think you would do on the way down? You're going to try and, prevent from crashing and everything
fly
else.
Fly good. Strap myself in. Make sure Nyx gets strapped in the cockpit. Tell Vic to strap himself in, but prioritize Nyx.
No third seat.
Serpentos, you are standing in a room full of dead hackers.
Excellent.
Shatterstar is sitting there with a real grim, dark expression on her face. She looks a little bit like Grumpy Cat. It's hard for Twi'lek to look really furious, but she's trying. The Ewok is reaching up with his tiny furry hand and grasping at your pant leg. And he's just like, yup, yup, yip cha.
And I look down, and to quote Mr. Megatron himself, my hand turns into a gun, and I go, "Such heroic nonsense!" And then I, and I blast him.
You traumatize a generation of '80s children, myself included. Don't worry, Rodimus will be here soon. So you blast the Ewok's head apart, and at the far end of the room, riddled with bullets, none of which are from a fork gun, but a couple of forks sticking out of him. DeLorean just looks up at you, and he says, you think you've won?
Yes, I have. I'm going to create a web of lies. And I'm going to succeed because of that. It's my plan. So you
okay?
Die.
Yep. It sounds like you've got it figured out. Okay. Shit. I was really hoping my last words would deter you. And then he dies.
Good. Now they're all dead. Shatterstar, you go to the garage and pretend to read a book or something. You weren't here. I'm going to go to the cockpit. And I'm going to go blame all this on N-Gage, who's dead.
Just says, finally, a chance to finish eat, pray, love. And then she throws the chain gun over her shoulder, which is really a lot more awkward than she'd hoped. And then, like, she can't quite get through the door, and it's just a whole routine. You storm back towards the cockpit, markedly ignoring the Gronk droid in the corner.
This episode of Dumb Scum and Villainy features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at the Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Adam McNamara at AdamMcNamara13 on Twitter, Guy Bradford at Guy Bradford on Twitter, and our fantastic game master, Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and all of Dumb Dumbs and Dice's art is by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme song is In Orbit by Kronox, and our ad music is No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R, all available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com, our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. But most importantly, we've got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice, or you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Dice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. Now get out of my shop. I'm a Toydarian. Your Jedi mind tricks do not work on me.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Manicola, Long Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, DM Rob, Christopher Little, Joshua White, Olin Anderson, Sue One, Devin Boyce, George Dolby, One True Artistry, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.